Welcome to our final presentation for Chapter 1, Financial Planning in Action. And we're going to discuss a few things and get them out of the way because they're not really that important in our day-to-day operations, but they're very important in our long-term decisions. And that is, what do you want to be if you grow up? Huh? I don't want to grow up. Well, I often look around and say, oh my goodness, I've become my father. How did that happen? Who did this to me? I'm responsible. Yeah, it happens to the best of us. So let's ask ourselves, do we have a job or a career? Now, I don't really like this distinction. It's in the book and other people make it. A job is considered an employment position obtained mainly to earn the money without regard for the interest for or opportunities for advancement, whereas a career is a commitment to a profession that requires continued training and offers a clear path for occupational growth. I personally think it's a little elitist, but one of the counselors, and I can't remember which one, at Southwestern said, no, look at it this way. A job is something you do for a paycheck. A career is something you do regardless of the paycheck. And that's how I feel. I'm the luckiest guy in the world. I get to teach the things that I love and do the things that I love. I do them for free. Don't tell the man administration, okay? Keep it under your hat. But is it true on slide 41 that education generally relates to income? And the answer is yes. In general, it's not a guarantee, the higher your education, the more likely you are to earn a better salary. And that's why a lot of people go to school, just so they'll get a better salary. But you don't have to go to college to get a better salary, folks. That's not the case. Everybody believes that's true. But there are many professions that a two-year degree or technical education, technical training, you can do very well. And in the financial services industry, they're going to want you to eventually get a bachelor's degree, but you don't have to have one to get started, as I will point out from time to time. Where will the jobs be? Well, in general, they're going to be in services. Manufacturing is declining and declining and declining. And people say, it's because you're all taking our jobs. No, not the Chinese and the Indians and the people out in Santee. They're not the ones taking our jobs. It's the machines that are taking our jobs. In China, the percentage of people working in manufacturing is shrinking because of automation. So you need to get a skill. Whether it's in the service industry or somewhere else where you're, even if you want to be in the manufacturing industry, that's fine. Just realize that they're not the same jobs. You're not going to be picking up a little widget and putting it in a place and that. No, even you need education to work in the modern factory. In fact, there's a bit of a joke, but it's true. The factory of the future will only need two employees, a man and a dog. The man's job will be to feed the dog, or woman. The woman's job will be to feed the dog. The dog's job will be to keep people from touching the machinery. But it's true. There are factories now. You ever hear of a company called Shimano? Shimano, what do they do? People say, oh, bicycles. No, they don't make bicycles. They make bicycle parts. There's a very, very good chance, better than 90%, that whatever bicycle you're on has Shimano parts. And they also make fishing equipment. And they're one of the most technologically advanced companies in the world. Their parts are not touched from start to finish by human hands. It's all automated. And then when the machine breaks down, a robot comes out and fixes it. And they're not the only company that's doing that, folks. So you need to think of what kind of skill you're going to have, whether it's in manufacturing or services or agriculture. It's going to be affected by information technology. And look at all the options. There are, all these are going to need new people in the next 5-10 years, especially financial services. Financial services, folks, there are tens of thousands of people who are retiring over the next 5 to 10 years. And I love it. I'm not biased, right? I just teach the stuff. But where is the real growth in? You know where it is, right? Healthcare. In fact, biotechnology is going to change the world in ways that we cannot even imagine yet. Whatever the computer industry, the telecommunications industry has done, software, hardware, it's going to look tame compared to what biotechnology is going to do. We're going to cure cancer in the next 5 to 10 years. Maybe it'll take a little longer. Maybe it'll happen sooner. But the healthcare companies involved in this biotechnology adventure are creating a type of cancer therapy called immunotherapy. See, we have chemotherapy, but it's pretty blunt, and it can kill you. If the cancer doesn't kill you, the chemo can. But immunotherapy is something entirely different. I don't do it, but the companies take your blood out and inject DNA into your killer T cells, right? I'm getting this all wrong. Please go research it and get it right. They train your immune cells to go out and kill the cancer, to realize that cancer is not something we want around, because the cancer goes, ooh, I'm part of the body, don't bug me, you know, and the immune system says, and it's working, and it's working now. It's still a few years away, but it's going to happen. It's going to happen. People are very, very sick. They have a tumor, or whatever the cancer is. They use the treatment and put the cells back in the body, and the cells replicate and start doing their thing and going after the cancer, and the people get deathly ill. The patients get deathly ill. Why is that? Because that's the symptoms we feel when we have a cold. The symptoms we feel are not because of the virus. They're because of our immune system kicking in, and these people are sick for 2 weeks or so, feel the symptoms of a cold for two, very bad cold for 2 weeks, and the tumor's gone. The cancer's gone. Amazing stuff that's going to happen. You need a new liver. No problem. We'll make one for you. It's going to happen. And so that's why I say I'm so incredibly optimistic about the future. We'll see. But what do you want to be if you grow up? What is your career goal? Now, what the culture tells us is that most people believe you must become a doctor or a lawyer or a high-powered executive to become wealthy. But what if you don't want to do that? What if you want to be a writer or a teacher or an artist? Do artists make a lot of money? No, a few do, but most, you know, just barely subsist from, you know, they do okay. Some of them, you know, the good ones. Do you want to be a janitor? Folks, I don't know about you, but watch what happens to civilization, technologically based civilization, if somebody doesn't pick up the trash. Or a mechanic or a plumber. Now, here's where I said, you know, you don't have to get a college degree, folks. You don't get a 4-year degree, go get a master's or PhD to be a plumber. And the last time we had a plumber at our place, it was close to $800. So here's a little story that's totally true. I want you to believe me. This brain surgeon had just landed a job at the university in town, university hospital in town, and she wanted, you know, to make a good impression. So she is having a dinner party Saturday night with all the muckety mucks from the hospital. And the Saturday afternoon, the downstairs toilet clogs and overflows. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. So she calls a 24-hour emergency plumber who rushes right out, and 5 minutes, he's got it working. Boom, just like that. And she's so happy, so grateful. Thank you so very much. Well, he gives her a bill for $400. And the surgeon says, excuse me, sir, I don't want to sound ungrateful. I'm very grateful, but I'm a brain surgeon. I don't even make $400 in 5 minutes. And the plumber said, yeah, I know how it is. Neither did I when I was a brain surgeon. Yeah. Can you become wealthy while doing what you love, even if it does not command a salary? Well, as we saw when you did the future value exercises which you did do, right? You did the future value exercises, right? The answer is yes. The key is to set a goal for yourself and start investing early. In fact, dear students, your career is not the most important financial decision you will ever make. What? That's what most people think, right? But if your career is not your most important financial decision, what is? What is your most important financial decision? Who you marry. And then subsequently divorce. Marriage is grand. Divorce is more like 100 grand. And, you know, when I tell this to the younger folks in the face-to-face class, you know, because a lot of them are 18, 19, they kind of, and then I tell them, we always start every class with a joke, and we often get to the battle of the sexes jokes, which are the best jokes, folks. And they go, oh, you know, you can just tell their little lips are quivering, and they're going, but I was always told marriage is wonderful and something to look forward to. It's an ordeal. It's not a love affair. And then eventually somebody in the middle of the semester, at the end of the semester, said, well, aren't you married? I said, yes, yes, yes. Well, are you happy? Are you happily married? I said, oh, yes. My wife told me to tell you that we are very happily married. Yeah, indeed. So you younger folks who maybe I'm bursting your little bubble, I want you to talk to older folks who've been there, done that, and will tell you that it was a disaster because more than half of women and children, one year after divorce, are at the poverty level or below. It's a terrible thing that could happen to you emotionally and financially. Slide 45. Speaking of civilization, were we speaking of civilization or maybe uncivilization? There are, right now, there is a transition going on between the Industrial Revolution, the Industrial Age, and what is often called the Information Age. It goes by various names, but it's happening now, and it's exciting, I believe, because you go back in time, and you still see very few, but there's still a few hunting and gathering tribal societies here, but not on the Earth, right? But not most. Most of them get swallowed up by the modern world. And about 8, 9, 10,000 years ago, we moved from hunting and gathering into an agrarian subsistence, agrarian civilization. And it was simple at first, but then very quickly it turned into advanced agrarian. Egypt, and then China, and Central America, the Mesopotamian area, then eventually Rome, Greece, and Europe. Until we moved into the Industrial Age, it's starting about 200 years ago. And what happened, folks? What has happened so far? Well, it's an interesting story. In the agrarian societies, people typically worked 60 to 80 hours a week. Now, during the harvest, you worked all night long. I mean, it wasn't called a harvest moon for nothing, folks. Get those crops in before they rot or the bugs or the rats eat them. And, of course, during the wintertime, there wasn't as much to do. You just tried to do your best to stay alive. We moved to the Industrial Revolution, and, oh, my goodness, we went to 40-hour work weeks because the machines were doing so much of the work for us. What a wonderful contribution the Industrial Revolution did to us, right? Now, some people say, I work a lot more than that. Yeah, but it's going to change. In fact, for decades, futurists, you know, folks who look at the society and say, you know, this is where we're moving, have predicted that we're going to have to work fewer hours. There's just going to be a whole lot less work for people to do. So the typical prediction is within, you know, 20, 30, 40 years, we'll be working 25 to 28 hours a week. We'll see. We don't know. We don't know what's going to happen because that's the future. It's hard to predict the future. But that's what we see coming because you see it already. You see eventually that cars are not going to have drivers, so where are all the taxi drivers going to go, right? And the delivery drivers and the truck drivers? Yes, think about the universal translators that you'll be able to buy in 5, 10 years, and you just pop it in your ear, and you can understand whatever somebody else is saying, because the device will automatically discern what language they're speaking and then instantly translate it for you. So all the professors in language arts are in deep trouble, I think. How many hours a week did the hunting and gathering societies work? And people say they work all the time. No, not really. They worked about 25 to 28 hours a week, about 4 hours a day. Now, it was a very precarious, yeah, exactly, a precarious lifestyle. And they woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, went out foraging for food a few hours, and then got back inside because it was too hot and too dangerous to be outside, and then went back to sleep until 5 o'clock or so in the afternoon when it got cooler, and you went out foraging for food and water, and then got back inside very quickly because it was dark and dangerous. Have we really... Well, it's a different world, isn't it? Now, you see right now immigration and other issues based, in my humble opinion, on fear and anxiety and not looking optimistically towards the future. Are you scared by China and India and Mexico stealing all our jobs and taking over our rightful place as kings of the hill in the world? Are you? Don't be. I'm old enough to remember when Japan in the 1980s was going to take over the world. You see, you don't understand. Right now, our agents are fanning out across the globe. And within 10, 15 years, we will bring those developing countries to their knees. Who are these agents? Coca-Cola, McDonald's, Kentucky Fried Rat, Marlboro cigarettes. Yes, dear students, there's a gene that is passed through the Asian world and Latin American, or Southern the Native American, and in Africa also, sometimes called the starvation gene. And people in these areas with this gene have a 10 times more likelihood of getting diabetes. So when they have adopted our way of eating, with lots of sugar and lots of meat and white bread, and they're going to get diabetes. There's over 200 to 300 people, between 200 and 300 million people in the world today that have diabetes, and they don't even know it. And then we're going to sell them the diabetes drug. Capitalism ain't perfect, folks. It might be the absolute worst system ever created to distribute goods and services to an economy, except for all the others. So don't worry. I firmly believe the United States is poised to prosper for the next 10, 20, 30, 40 years. We're going to do well. And we're going to do well because the rest of the world is going to do well. We should welcome, not because of some, bleeding heart, fuzzy-headed liberal thinking that everybody should be wonderful. No, it's because we want to make money. And when hundreds of millions of people come out of poverty in the developing, emerging nations, we used to call them third world, they want what we take for granted. They want Dairy Queen, and they want Danone yogurt, and they want Nike shoes, and they want cell phones, and Pampers, and cars, and Jack Daniels, and Marlboros. So be of good cheer. Be optimistic. Assuming we don't blow ourselves up, die in our own ways, meteorite, Ebola, yeah, earthquake. Okay, so the last word we give to Confucius. Now, this is a guy who had it all figured out 2,500 years ago, folks. Choose a job you love, and you will never work a day in your life. And this is why I consider myself personally the luckiest person in the world, luckiest guy in the world, because I love what I do. I get up in the morning, and I'm excited about going to work. And I talk to people who just hate their job, and I just don't know what to say. I apologize. I'm sorry to hear that. And so I hope you have that same luck in your life, that you choose a job that you love. And practice what we learn here in Business 121, Financial Planning and Money Management, and the wealth will follow. Assuming the world doesn't end. In which case, all bets are off. I'll meet you at the beach. You bring the vodka, I'll bring the marshmallows. See ya. Now, in our next chapter, we're ready to begin money management.
Budgeting.
Oh, I hate that word. So, see you in chapter 2. Don't forget to make sure you can do those future value problems, right? Of course, right.